We're here with Richie Neal, my congressman from Massachusetts' 1st District. He's been a Democrat in office since 1989. This will be the lightning round. I'm going to ask you a lot of questions, Richie.
Okay.
We're going to go fast. How did Pelosi do in the standoff with Trump?
Actually, I don't think she could have done any better. I think that they have always miscalculated her steadfastness, and I think that they time and again have underestimated her belief in principle. And they frequently try to make people say in a derogatory manner that she's an out-of-touch left-winger from San Francisco, when we all know that she grew up in Baltimore. And she is very determined, and I will say this. I felt as I watched the negotiation and the discussions go back, I'm glad I was one of her supporters.
Talk to me about the Democrats and the border wall. What do the Democrats really want? You got about
a minute. I think that what we're arguing is that technology could handle this. There might have to be some places where you would do some fencing, but by and large, technology could handle this. And I think that we're willing to invest the sums that are necessary. And nobody on our side is making the argument for open borders. I don't think any of us agree with that. And in fact, I think the position that we've taken is that the Homeland Security requires an acknowledgement of who's coming into the country. But the issue of immigration really, or the undocumented, largely comes from the fact that it's people that come to America and overstay their visas. It is not people who pour across that border. And certainly the president's choice of words that this was somehow an invasion is absolutely inaccurate.
Mueller. Let's talk about Mueller. We see Whitaker, who, as I have often said, him I don't like, the acting attorney general, saying that it's going to conclude the Mueller investigation.
Well, Adam Schiff, who is a very capable guy,
who is
the head of the Intelligence Committee, and I must tell you, I think that he has the perfect temperament for this undertaking, that he briefed the caucus yesterday, and I asked him that very question in the caucus. Was there anything to hang our hats on that somehow the Mueller report was imminent? And he said he thought that there was no evidence that he has seen on that basis, and that he thought, in fact, that the acting attorney general should not be commenting on any of those matters.
It was sort of an aside, wasn't it? It was not, they got sent out there. But this is the kind of stuff that the Giulianis and other people have been saying for a long time now. It's going to be over by this time, by Thanksgiving, and maybe not.
Well, you wonder when you watch some of the programming if there's any former prosecutor who's out of work in America. I mean, it's stunning that we can have these TV lawyers who can make these assessments in 30 seconds to meet a soundbite. And I think it doesn't do the system any good. And I also think that one of the most important parts of Mueller's investigation has been the fact that there have been no leaks. He's kept this very tight.
He has. Let me talk to you about the impending announced candidacy of Mr. Schultz of coffee fame, and whether or not he would run as a third-party person. You are as smart about this stuff as anybody I've ever known. Could he present a threat in terms of the Democrats in the re-election?
Yes, he could. And I think that I would prefer, if he's going to do it, he ought to do it as a Democrat and see where his fortunes might rest. When you look at the evidence here, let me take you back to Ralph Nader, Florida and New Hampshire. In that instance here, if you recall, that Al Gore, if he had simply won New Hampshire, he'd have been president. Ralph Nader got 4% of the vote in New Hampshire, and Gore lost by 2.
Yeah.
And I think that the statistical data there is pretty compelling. I think Jill Stein's effort hurt Hillary Clinton in Wisconsin. And I think the third-party candidates, I understand that they generally don't start out with the idea that they can get elected, because after all, parties aggregate interests. Independent candidates seem not to have that same leverage. But I think what's startling about the suggestion from Schultz, who, by the way, has really done a great job as a businessman, that can be a very different skill set when you bring it to public office.
Okay, so now we're hearing that Bill Weld might want to run as a Republican. You know, he's got a terrific sense of humor, as you know.
Yes, he does. He's very witty, yes.
That's right. He's very witty. But he could hurt the guy, couldn't he?
I think he could do some damage there. If you recall the last time, he was he flirted with being a Libertarian, came back to being a Republican, was actually nominated to be an ambassador by Bill Clinton. So it tells you that his background is one of really being more of a a very small congregation today, and that is moderate to liberal Republicans.
Gotcha. Okay, so you want to get some answers from Treasury Secretary Mnuchin about raising the U.S. debt limit, citing a March 1st deadline. What happens then?
Well, I think that what we're trying to do is call attention to the idea that we don't need another government shutdown, period, whether it's about raising the public, lifting the ceiling on the debt.
Sure.
And recall that lifting the ceiling on the debt is not about new spending. It's about paying your bills. It's like the home owner who comes in and all of a sudden the credit card bill comes or the statement comes. This is for past purchases. So this is not about new spending. And so when you hear people say, for example, that that they're not going to raise the debt ceiling because this is how they send a message. No, this is how you send a message of irresponsibility to the rest of the world. And they helped to run up that debt, and we're still going to be paying for Iraq and Afghanistan for a long period of time. And I think that the debts that have been incurred along those lines, you have to pay the bills on it. So what I'm doing is saying to the secretary, you probably, even though the debt question will come up in mid-March, he's going to have, I think, some tools in his cabinet that would allow him to move some money around so that you wouldn't have a hard, fast deadline in the middle of March. But you know what? This is the time to come in and explain to the Ways and Means Committee, who has responsibility for overseeing the Treasury Secretary, what his plans are and how we're going to move forward. This is another example, though, of what has happened in Congress. And I'm just reading an excellent book by David Lawrence, who chronicles what happened to the what were called the Watergate babies, the 74 class. And he does an excellent job of outlining the changes that took place in Congress and how they came about. And part of it was the zealotry in those years of both sides. And that's one of the reasons that it became harder to find accommodation. But the debt ceiling is not a Democratic issue or a Republican issue. It's about a responsible position on the issue.
Now you got yourself incredibly powerful position. Representative McGovern, who we also interview on this program, who runs the Rules Committee, which is huge. Western Massachusetts is in great shape, aren't we?
I think it's a pretty remarkable time. I mean, I think the idea that this is really the first time that people have risen to this responsibility since Tip was the speaker.
Right.
And I think it's...
For you young ones, Tip O'Neill. Go ahead.
Thanks for the correction. And so I think, it's a great credit to the people of Central and Western Massachusetts, which Jim and I have represented for a long time. But at the same time, I also think that we've put a lot of effort into it.
Yes, you have. It is always wonderful to talk to Richie Neal, Massachusetts' first district Democrat in office since 1989. Richie, I am so proud of you, and I am so happy that you are where you are. Thank you so much.
Always great to talk to you, Alan. Thank you.